Well, good morning. It's good to be with you all this morning. Made it through the chilly Colorado snow, the storm, the snowpocalypse that was coming, the whole like inch and a half that they maybe got on I-80 all the way across. But glad to be back. Glad to be back with you. We come to this time of year each and every year, and this week is kind of just a blur, isn't it? The week that comes between Christmas and New Year's. This week kind of just blows past and things start to swirl in our minds. I mean, you're with family, you're getting to do these amazing things, you're getting to celebrate the gift of Christmas, and all at the same time, the year that had passed, maybe it was a great year for you, maybe it was kind of a crummy year for you, maybe it was a year that was memorable, and maybe it was a year that you want to forget, but you recognize that it's coming to a close. And your focus starts to shift. For some of us, we look in the mirror and we make these New Year resolutions about we're going to eat better. Some of us, we look at our wallets and our checking accounts and we think we're going to manage our finances better. For some of us, we look at the things that we accomplished or the lack of things that we accomplished and we say, I'm going to resolve to make manage my time better. For some of us, we look at the things, we look at the decisions, and we want to better ourselves. We want to resolve the things that have been in our lives for the past year that we want to improve on. Or maybe some of us, we look at the things that we did in the last year and we think, man, this is something I started out on last year. This is something that a year ago today, I was sitting there saying I was going to do this, and I loved the decisions I was making for that first month, but then it just all seemed to go away. And so, once again, we take time to make resolutions. We take time to focus our minds to come into this new year in a way that's going to be different from the past. And if you're new to Martell Christian Church, or if you've been coming here your whole life, or if this is your first Sunday, in the last year we had this time. We had about 7 months where our elders and the leadership of this church decided to diligently look into who we were going to be. Who we were going to be as a church. It was a time where we got to see the things that we had been doing in the past, that some of them were things that we were like, wow, we have done some great things in these areas. And to be honest, there were times where we looked at some of the things that we've done in the past and we were like, man, we need to do more here, or we need to do things differently here. And we made these decisions about who we were going to be. We made a resolution. And that's something that we want to continue into this year. So like any resolution, we want to start with a little bit of reflection of who we are and move into who we want to be. And some of that reflection, we look and we decided to go back to the very start. And that reflection started with Scripture, and we wanted to look at what God was calling us to be. And the first thing we identified as a purpose. As a purpose from the very beginning of who the church is supposed to be, we said that our purpose was to glorify God. We want to establish our purpose in the church to glorify God. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's prayer to the church is this. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he might strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He says, what I want from you, the church, your charge as the body of Christ, says first that you will grow. Or as he says, you will be strengthened through the Holy Spirit. That by the love that you hold, you will know God's love for you. And that you will be consistent reminders, constant reminder of Jesus' glory throughout the generations. This idea of growth, love, and glory, he says, that's what I want for you, church. That's what I want for you, God's people. I want there to be growth, I want there to be love, and I want there to be glory, not for yourselves, notice, but glory to God, seen through the church and through Christ, who gave himself for the church. And that's where we found our purpose. That's where we found the purpose of the church is first and foremost to glorify God. And we do that in many ways. We're going to hit a little bit of that later on, and I don't want to go there quite yet. But as we looked and we saw the purpose, our purpose as a church to bring glory to God, we started to ask how that can happen. What was that going to look like? And we found it in two places. One of them's right here. It's when Jesus is getting ready to leave this earth for a time. And when he's going up to the Father and he leaves his disciples with one last thing. And I think it's important if somebody as important as Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, all the things that we've looked at over the last month about who Jesus is going to be, if he's saying, I want to leave you with one thing, I think it's important that we pay attention to that one thing. And so if you will, go ahead and read this with me. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And he says, I'll be with you to the very end of the age. That's what Jesus leaves his disciples with. If you look either here or in the book of Acts, it's both the same thing, different wordings that he's instructing his disciples to go on, this mission that he's deciding them to go on. So we looked at that as this thing called the Great Commission that we've been given, that our mission is. And we see this and we pay attention to this, but there's also another place in Scripture where we see that God has given us instruction, where Jesus gives instructions, and it happens when Jesus is teaching. And this young man comes up to him. And there's some question about his motivation in all of this, but he goes up to Jesus and he says, what's the greatest commandment? What's the greatest of all of them? And Jesus looks at him and he says this, you might know it. He says, first, the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And he said, second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus tells him that all of the law and the prophets are wrapped up in these two things. So I think that's another point where we look at that. If Jesus is saying everything that's come before, everything that you've been following can be wrapped up in these two things, I think it's pretty important that we look to those two things. And so those are the areas where we wanted to draw from. When we ask the question, what does it mean to give God glory? We wanted to look at those things. We wanted to look at Scripture and say, this is what God is leading us to. This is what God's leading us to, these commandments. These commandments, these commissions that the church is sent out on, these missions that we are sent on to glorify him through how we act, who we are, what we say, what we do. All of this, what we believe. And so as we pay attention to those things, we come to our church's New Year's resolution, if you want to call it that. Something we've decided is our mission. And our mission starts out like this. It starts to simply make disciples. It's what Jesus started in his Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples. When Jesus instructed his disciples to make disciples, he had already shown them how to do it. He showed them what it means. We get to see that through the Gospels. Four different times it lays out how Jesus walked, how he lived, how he taught, how he loved his disciples. Through the ups and downs, through the good and the bad, through the fun and through the hurt, Jesus stayed beside them, built them up, picked them back up when they fell down. He was transparent with them, and they were transparent with him. And this is the idea of bringing glory to God. And on both of these fronts, on bringing glory to God and making disciples, I think that we can misunderstand this a little bit. And we can get confused on this for just a moment. I want to look at these things. Because maybe you've seen or maybe you've assumed that making disciples is something that happens on Sunday mornings or maybe on a revival night, if you go back that far. That it happens by someone with the title of preacher or evangelist. Someone up on the stage pounding a pulpit. Did I wake anybody up there? And we say that's what discipleship looks like. But we get a vastly different picture from the way that Jesus did discipleship in his life. We think that bringing glory to God is focused on what happens when a worship leader is up here playing guitar. But each of these things, they happen in those contexts, but they go far outside of them. These things aren't wrapped up in what happens in a building on a Sunday morning. But these are things that happen when Christ followers follow Christ. As simple as that. They learned firsthand how to live lives that honored and brought glory to God by watching what Jesus did every single day. Jesus worked to duplicate himself in his disciples. And his disciples spread the news about Jesus and discipled others by following in Jesus' example. As Paul would say to the Corinthian church, follow my example as I follow Christ. And that's what we hope to do. That's what we aim to do with our teaching and the way that we do life together in small groups and Bible studies. It's our goal in all of our worship, not just what happens on Sunday morning, but what happens every day is we get the opportunity to show God's glory in our lives. And so we want, as our mission in the church, to make disciples, to invite people to follow us, not because we are great, and not because we want them to follow what someone says from a pulpit on a Sunday morning, not because we want them to follow what a small group leader says on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday night, but because we want them to follow Christ, because he's the one that we're trying to follow after. And we want to bring them along beside us. And part of what's going to be shown in that, when we work to make disciples, when we work to follow Jesus so that others can follow us, so what begins to happen is that we make disciples who love God and love one another. It's what comes out of that verse, that greatest commandment that Jesus gave, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as yourself. We not only want to be making disciples, but we want their focus to be on these things. One of the phrases in the Old Testament that God had instructed his people to say every single day was this mantra of saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." Love the Lord your God, and you got to do the actions with me here, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. I didn't see everybody doing it. You ready? And love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. All right, now we're going to start VBS in here. Okay. But meaning simply, love God with all you are. Love God with every part of you. Love the Lord your God with all of your feeling, with all of your being, with all of your thoughts, with all of your actions. Love the love of God. Love the justice of God. Love the complexity of God. Love the truth of God. And love what you do not know yet of God. And love him with all you are. And then, let that love spill out to others. Love others with the love that you have discipled from God himself. You see, we get a lot of pictures of love in this world. Let your love for people be a reflection of the true love that God has for us. This world is really confused about love right now. It's really confused about what it looks like, what the context of it is, what the meaning of it is. And we have a responsibility as a church to show the love of God. And we get that idea from love straight from God's word, and we see this chapter that's mostly used in verses and weddings. Joe must have been reading my notes today in Sunday school because we talked about this. This chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is often called the love chapter, and it's read at weddings, and we hope that in the marriage relationship this is present. That all these things are present, but when we look at Scripture, this idea of love that is patient, kind, on and on, that we're going to read in just a second, he was talking about love for one another in the church. He was talking about the ways that we love people. And so, we get to this, and we read what love should look like, what it should not look like. All wrapped into one, it says love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but it rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Mirror that love with one another. As Peter instructs, one of the last things that he says in his first letter is, above all else, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Guys and gals, we need to show the world what love is. Not just what love is, but what it truly means to love like God. And so, in that is our aim, to make disciples who love God first and foremost, and who love others. It's God's command, it's our mission, and it's the greatest way to lead toward discipleship. One thing I want to point out in all of this, in this talk about love, and I think this is something that's really important for us as a church, is that one of the things that we're confused sometimes about is that love means that we're just going to brush over whatever person thinks or does that's contrary to the truth. And in this discussion of being a church who loves God and loves others, we miss sometimes that there are real times when the most loving thing you can do for someone is point them to the truth instead of how they're feeling at a time. And I'm not saying that to say that we as a church need to go out there and slam people down in the name of, quote, love. But I'm saying that love is going to lead to times where we point back to the truth. And I say this because some of the most loving things that people have done for me is point me to the truth. And so as a body, when we say that we're going to love God and love others, we're going to love part of that being the truth of what God is and what he says is the truth in our lives. And so keep that in mind as we talk about that love. That's where we get to this point that bleeds into our last resolution that we've made as a church. Because in that journey of loving one another and pointing to the truth, we want to make disciples, make disciples. We want to make disciples who love God and love others. We want to make disciples who make disciples. We just want to, I hope you can tell, make disciples. What that means is we want to be there for you in a way that grows each other to love God more, to love people to the point where you love them so much that you want to take others on this same journey that we're going through. I had a friend in college who sold Amway. He loved their products. He kept their version of 5-Hour Energy in our dorm room. He kept their little juice boxes that they produce. He kept the vitamin packs. He handed out little testers to everybody. And when they really liked the product, when they saw the benefits of the product, he would have lunch with them. And how these lunches would usually go is he would talk to them for a little while. He'd discuss the things that they had really liked about the products that he had been showing them, about the different vitamins or the juices or any of these things that they really liked. And he started to walk them through, you know, you could do this. You could sell these things. And so he'd start to talk to them about how they could be a part of his business and how they could sell this as well with him, how they could be part of a team, how they could be a consultant. And he did this because he had such success with this. He believed in the product himself. He made, for one, lots of money. And for the people he cared about, he wanted them to be able to take the same journey that he enjoyed so much. The thing is that many times we treat church more like Walmart than we do Amway. Many times we go one day a week to a building, pick up our spiritual groceries, and head out until we need a little bit more. And here's the thing. It's not how it's supposed to work. Because for one, the church is not a building. Folks, you don't go to church. You are the church. Christ didn't die so that we could put up walls in cities across the world and across America. Christ died for the church that is you and I. You are the church. And who we resolve to be as a church isn't about how organizationally we want a building to be run. We resolve as a people that continue a movement created by Christ to bring glory to God by making disciples. By making disciples who love God and love one another. And by making disciples who make disciples. As you consider your New Year's resolution this year, consider being a part of what's going on at Martell Christian Church. We accomplish all of this by the way that we worship, not just on Sunday mornings as our band team comes up, but how we live every day, by fellowship, by meeting with one another, by building each other up, by discipleship, which, as we've talked about a lot, making disciples, by ministry, by making disciples that serve, and by our mission, which is to proclaim the gospel. All of these have a bunch of different ways that they are accomplished and moved out. And we'd love for you to be a part of one going on here. Part of that mission that Jesus said was to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, and he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we want to celebrate that for just a moment. If I could have our elders come on up for just a minute. Part of this is we wanted to look back on the year that's happened. And it's been a year of growth, of love, and of glory. And we have some Bibles to celebrate the decisions that some people have made. Usually during this time, we have an invitation for if you need to make a decision to come on forward and talk and to either be baptized into joining Christ's family or becoming a member at our church, which become part of in a smaller context, our family. And so some people have made decisions to be baptized, and we want to celebrate that. So John and Pat, can you guys come on forward? And Quentin, you want to come on up, bud? And Jamie and Joanna, if you guys want to come up. And Stone, if you want to come on up, bud. Alrighty, so we want to present you guys each with these Bibles that just remember your guys' baptism and just the celebration that we got to have with you guys this year. So there you go, Pat and John. And as these guys are gathered up here with me, we just want to invite you to stick around, Jamie and Jo. Joanna, and we want to say a prayer for you guys. As we have and as we'll continue to be doing, we hope that we can be with you guys to help disciple you, to help you learn to love God and to love others, and to hopefully watch you guys as you all go out and make disciples and share God's news. So can we go ahead and pray with you guys? And then you guys can go ahead and get started. So, dear Lord, we just thank you for each of these guys and gals up here, the celebrations that we've got to have over this last year of them making decisions to be a part of your family. Lord, to obey, to walk in obedience with you through baptism, and Lord, just the excitement that we've got to have here. God, we pray for all of these, for Stone, for Jamie and Joanna, for Quentin, for John and for Pat, for Kaylin and Paige, Lord, as well, as they've made decisions over this year. And we celebrate this time and celebrate the new year that's coming and the fact that your mercies are new every morning and that through your Son, we have your mercy in our lives and that we can have a relationship with you. So Lord, we love you, God. We praise you for all things. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Would you all stand?